questions that could reveal your purpose in life? What if there were questions that could surface the change most meaningful to you? And what if answering those questions would give you the power to ignite? Welcome to the Illumify Game Changer podcast. These are big conversations that lead to self-discovery. Together, let's embark on the leader's journey and ignite meaningful change. If you've been listening to previous episodes, you'll know that this portion of the podcast was recorded in Copenhagen, where Jonathan currently lives. Somehow, when we returned to Toronto, we discovered that the recording of Jonathan answering this Unify question had disappeared. Stay tuned, and in a few minutes, I'll share his reflections on this question. We're in Unify now, where the leader needs to activate those who can help realize the vision of meaningful change. This Unify question is designed to ensure that a leader conveys the words and actions that mobilize others. That's big enough, as many senior leaders I've worked with just assume that people will know what to do. To me, that's like playing a game of marbles. You roll one with enough force, and it causes the other marbles on the floor to go scattershot off in all directions. That is counterproductive when it comes to igniting meaningful change. Those who can help you realize your vision have to act in alignment consistently for change to advance and ultimately ignite. Leaders therefore need to unify others so they act in concert as one collective to make change the new reality. The important question Jonathan answers in this episode is this: can they echo what you've said about this change? Can your words become theirs? Can you unify as one voice to build strong and consistent awareness of your meaningful change? The reason this question appears now in Unify is that when others share the same understanding of your vision as you do, they can become ambassadors for it. They tell their people, those who can also help realize your vision of meaningful change, whether they be their teams, their networks, or even their family and friends. And when they are able to echo the leader's words, there is one narrative, one common understanding that unifies them. So each acts based on the same shared awareness. And that's how meaningful change ignites and becomes the new reality. Here now are Jonathan's reflections on this question: can they echo what you've said about this change? Would you like to share anything, Jonathan? Any new insights or old insights on the last card you played?
We started the Unify phase with, in some ways, a return to the statement, the single powerful statement that captures, expresses the vision. And we came up, after conversation, we came up with a version of that. And that felt very good. And together with the simplicity of that, this idea of compressing the vision into a declaration, a single powerful declaration, I also felt that it had gathered some weight. It wasn't the same declaration that I'd made at the end of London. So this is
really,
2 or 3 months ago. The words are almost identical. We have a sort of 15-second version of the declaration now, which I feel very good about. It feels right, but it just feels sturdier than the first iteration of the declaration way back in London, even though the words haven't really changed and we haven't added anything to it. And I think that's simply what I feel within myself, having gone through the amplify phase that we tested, not the declaration, but the entire vision. We tested the resilience and the flexibility and the malleability, the suppleness of the vision. So I emerge now into Unify, and we started Unify yesterday. That was the big new thing. And with this simple statement, I feel that it's gathered a bit more weight now, because it's been tested, because it's been applied already to different debates, if we can call them that. So that feels very good. We have the simplicity of the statement, the declaration, but it does feel, feels sturdier than it did.
You embellish on weight and sturdier a little bit for us to have a better understanding.
As I said, the first important thing is there is nothing in the statement itself. There is nothing in the declaration itself that has changed. We haven't added more words. We've not tried to bring more intensity or more emotion to the declaration. I simply feel, I guess it's confidence within me, a certain confidence within me, that I know that this declaration has traveled a bit now with me and has learned a few things on the way. It's perhaps worn in a little bit. Still feels fresh. The language feels fresh. This is not, I'm not talking about familiarity here. It's not that.
Worn in, by that, could you mean integrated?
Yes. Yeah, I think
into
so.
Into you and...
Yeah, yeah. There's definitely something here about just my own feeling around it and a sense of confidence. That declaration is right.
And so back to you, Jean, on integrity. What?
Well, as I hear you talking this morning, the feeling that comes is, yes, integrity, more alignment with the words that we've been using for how many days and weeks
15
now?
15 years.
Right?
No, 3 months.
But also the more in depth we go in those discussion and around those words, the more we find the alignment and the integrity of those words. And it goes back to the core of the words itself and its meaning. So because I've been in the process with you since the beginning, I can also feel that we have reached a point where it feels more, yes, sturdy, more, the core is more solid than maybe because we understand it more, we feel it more, but there's something there as we keep using it, exploring its different facets, that the core is much more solid.
Can I make a clothing metaphor? If you buy a new, let's say, a new beautiful white cotton dress shirt, and you put it on for the first time, and it feels a little stiff, and then as you wear it and as you wash it and it softens, it hangs more easily on your body and moves with you as you move.
Yeah, I like that. That idea of wearing in is good. I think there's a natural process there. Yeah, that feels right. That feels right.
It's so interesting, Jonathan, from a words perspective, the words that you chose early on, now 3 months ago in London, when that declaration first emerged. Today, we break with the past. We stand on new ground together. Mm. Those were profound words. At that moment in time, even at first iteration, that is a powerful declaration. And as we've talked about, when we hear those, we hear leadership. Mm. And we hear the possibility of what doesn't exist yet. Mm. Mm. coming into existence. So those words already had weight and promise. And yet now, as you wear them and hold them and embody them, they feel different, don't they?
They do. And as you talk through, Marianne, those first stages, and then the first time we expressed that vision and the declaration, something else strikes me now, which is that there was something very stark and a little bit lonely about that first statement of the vision. We had had very long and intense conversations about leadership and the nature of the visionary. What is a visionary? What is she or he actually doing? What's taking place there? And I had a very clear image of a passageway, the before and the after. And the visionary stands alone, necessarily alone, the other side of this veil, and stands alone with her vision on the other side of this veil. And there's great clarity there, but also a certain loneliness. And where the words of the declaration, so the distilling of the whole vision into a single declaration, was, again, if we go back to that metaphor we used a lot in London, digging through the darkness of a tunnel underground, like miners, mm-hmm. mining in the dark, chipping away, desperately trying
excavating
to get...
Excavating,
trying to get through to the next corridor, the next chamber, and hopefully a chink of light somewhere so that we at least know that we're moving forward, even though we can't really see. And then you get there, you get to that piece of language. What you end up there, that first statement is it's very fragile and you're holding on to it just to get a grip on things. Right, I can feel my feet again now. I've been chipping away in the dark, but I know where I stand. Fast forward to yesterday, and where the statement, this single declaration comprises the same words, it feels far less lonely, far less stark, because I think just through our conversation, but long conversations and demanding conversations of the amplify phase, the image in my mind is no longer of that lonely person who has just emerged on the other side and stands alone with that declaration. But, and I'm going to go back to your analogy, your metaphor, Marianne, the declaration now wears the clothes of the vision. I feel that statement, the one we ended up with yesterday, that declaration is not, it's so much more than a key message. It's so much more than a summary or a distillation of the vision. I can feel, thanks to the conversations we've had, all of the content, all of the substance, but all of the energy as well, which is packed tightly into that statement in a way that I couldn't possibly have felt that back in London, because it was just a piece of language at that stage that somehow captured what we were trying to say at a very, very, very early stage of the conversation. Now, the same statement, using the same words, just carries so much more weight and energy.
Mm. I'm going to extend that clothing metaphor one more bit. So, if you envision a mannequin in a shop window, and the mannequin is naked, nothing on the mannequin as of yet, and someone reaches in to the shop window with a white shirt, starched collar, and dresses the mannequin, does up the buttons, presses out the wrinkles, straightens it, so that from the passing eye, as people walk by, they see this pristine-looking shirt, clearly enough to be drawn to it. And it is a shirt on a mannequin. The purpose of the shirt is to draw others to it enough that they will walk into the shop, try on the shirt, and ultimately pay for it and walk out into their lives with the shirt. So if that is a process in itself, where are you at with that shirt now?
If I think back to yesterday and where we ended with the declaration, I feel it's further forward than it's more than something that is there merely to bring somebody in. I mean, and this is perhaps
wonderful.
This is perhaps because I would say this because I feel everything that's behind these words or within the words, but it's because if I take a step back here, I've always had a certain reticence about distilling something not just vast but complex into a smaller number of words. It's as we know, it's very difficult to do that. There is always the risk that you lose something.
And let me just pause there for a moment, Jonathan, if I may, for anyone who's been on this journey with you. When you allude to or refer to that reticence, they will know of what you speak, because what's been, to whatever degree, a little baffling perhaps, has been reticence of a master of language, reticence surfacing around words. So although when you frame it that way, you know, the complexity and robustness, etc., having to distill it into a few words, yes, that makes sense reticence-wise, but I think there was a little more to it, so I'm really glad that you've referred to that.
Yeah, and so where we end up now, back to the sturdiness of this and the sense of having something that carries weight and that carries the weight with a certain confidence, is because I can now feel what is tightly packed within the statement. The statement is so much more than a banner or
a mantra.
Yeah, so much more than yes, yes.
That is the power of a declaration that is true to you.
Yes. Yes.
And meaningful to others.
And where you know that the declaration has necessary limitations. It is a declaration, no less than a declaration, but also no more than a declaration. So you're aware of what it is and why it exists, but just as importantly, you feel what's within it, and I guess the possibilities within the declaration. That if we go back to the image of DNA, DNA is a code which will give a consistent structure throughout a body. It's unique to each of us.
Although we do share some, don't we?
We do share vast amounts, mm-hmm. But it's the idea that it is consistent within the body of an individual. When we talked about the core, Jean mentioned the core of the vision. When we have the confidence that the core of the vision is there, then we know that from that there is possibility, ramifications, the branching out of the vision into various expressions, which might ultimately be limitless. If there is power and energy in the source, in the core, then it may have many, many, many possibilities and eventual ramifications. So I think that's also where there is sturdiness in the declaration, because it's been tested, but there's also this sense of energy and possibility, because now we start to feel where it can go.
Yep. So there can be movement around, right? Exploration, navigation, yes. But the core is,
yes,
is what anchor you.
Yes.
So there's no more wavering of
no
with those words.
No.
And
no.
So there's something that keeps you anchor.
Yeah. Yeah.
With this, as we talk, like suppleness that you can move around and
yes.
play.
Yes.
Without breaking.
Yes.
When you speak of suppleness physically, I'm thinking of yoga, for example.
Yep.
You're also, you have to be strong to be supple, yeah? So does suppleness, it's a paradox. To be supple also means you have a strong core.
Totally.
For example, yeah.
So to summarize, we have a declaration at the end of Illuminate, the first phase, which is young, fresh, fragile, but quite bare, because its job has been to give us a footing on the other side. At the end of Amplify, the statement is full of so much conversation and so much thought, but also the testing that we went through. And then the imagination that has started to fill it as well. And that leads to the same piece of language, essentially, the same declaration, but which has aged already, but in a very good way.
Like a fine bottle of wine?
Well, it's not that old. It's still very young, but it's
Beaujolais Nouveau. We're getting somewhere though. It's aging. What happens when it's aging?
It's come through a phase. It's come through an important phase.
A testing phase.
And now carries inside it a sense of possibility and energy.
Does durability fit in anywhere there?
I think it's too early for that. When we talked yesterday about echoes, people echoing the message, the messages of the vision echoing through the conversations of other people down the line, there is certainly a first hint of time there. Okay. And
but I didn't mean duration. It's durability against potential wear and tear, so to speak. Do you get any sense of that yet?
So I think the testing was not the test of time to see whether it would last. But it's
testing of its substance, perhaps?
Yes.
And you have used the word universal applied to your vision.
Mm.
Does that feel more true to you now?
It feels true and it feels right. This is something that I have to be at peace with. And I want to say very clearly, there is no right or wrong here. There is no reason why a universal vision is any better or truer than a vision which speaks to a very particular limited community of people. There's no reason
sure.
at all.
Right.
I touched on this, I think, a couple of days back, where I was trying to find peace within myself with the vastness of the vision. And you do that by recognizing yourself. It's just who I am. It's just who I am. Europe is the best example of that, where Europe, and I feel very grateful for this, that because I fell in love with the idea of Europe at such an early age, thanks to the good fortune of being born at a particular time, so that just as I was hitting that age where in your late teens, you discover your heroes and you discover the drama of history. Boy, was that a great time to be alive, to see a wall crumbling and to see what that meant for people on both sides of the wall and what that symbolized for the rest of the continent watching that. And I dare say many other parts of the world was just life-changing. And from that moment onwards, but also there's an important detail, that love affair had started years before through language, the love of French, the love of German, and what they promised as a way of life. The reason I'm saying all of this is that, again, there's no good or bad here. It's just who I am and the life that I've had. And I've always been drawn to...
Jonathan, you've just said something so profound, I can't let it pass. Mm. And it is the clause, the statement, the declaration about your vision. You said it feels true and right because, quote, unquote, it's just who I am. That, in those four words, just who I am, you could take out the just, because that is, in effect, a qualifier. We know that. Take out the just. It's who you are, who I am. This has always been about, this entire Lumify Game Changer experience is about surfacing for you what is most meaningful to you. So to hear you say this vision is just who I am, that's as close as we can get. Mm. And I'm beyond thrilled to hear it, because I've seen it for you, but now you see it for yourself. Mm. And if you think back to our conversations about how we are each distinct, we come into this world, as you've said so poignantly, with sacred dignity, and we walk a path that is unique to us. We have experiences, we have gifts, we have expertise we amass, we have insights. We are each of us unique and distinct. And therefore, we each have an opportunity to contribute in some way that is bespoke to us, small, medium, or big. So this is why I do this, to help people like you be able to identify what it is and help you have the means to ignite it. And so beyond anything else, I thank you for this, because I have all along been grateful for your ability to articulate, and you can use many words, weave many words together, and speak seemingly for hours without pause because of your ability to do that. And each phrase has been meaningful. But when you can take all of that and distill it into the four words, that's mastery of language as well as transformation. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
It's been 3 months since Jonathan first surfaced his vision of meaningful change. When he began this journey through the Lumify Game Changer, he didn't see himself as a leader at all, let alone one capable of igniting meaningful change. And yet it was just a few conversations in that he had a glimmer of a vision of change that matters to him. And now, having answered more than 40 Illuminate and Amplify questions in this Illumify Game Changer, some of which surfaced insights he didn't know he had and others provoke some level of resistance in him. He's arrived at this unified question, feeling that his vision is solid. It doesn't just feel familiar to him. It feels true to who he is. And that is what the Illumify Game Changer is all about. Surfacing what could be that isn't yet, that could perhaps even be distinct to you, with the certainty that it's meaningful enough for you to ignite, and the confidence that you can lead it, as well as the clarity on how to express it so others respond and echo it beyond you. The leader's journey continues. Stay tuned. If listening to this Illumify Game Changer podcast is of value to you, please like it on this platform and share it with those who could ignite meaningful change. It's here, as am I, to be of service. I'm Marianne Gobet. Thank you for accompanying us on the leader's journey. To fully experience the passage to igniting meaningful change, subscribe to the Illumify Game Changer podcast. To learn more about the Illumify Game Changer and how to embark on your own leader's journey, please visit Illumify's website at illumifyinstitute.com. You matter. Step up. Speak up. Together, let's ignite meaningful change.